The first participant is Ramón Carrillo Pastos, who studied his PhD in physicist in the Center for Scientific Research and Higher Education. He is professor in the Faculty of Sciences at the University, Autonomous University of Baja California. The title of his presentation is The Interlinks Between Physics and Capitalism. With you, Dr. Good evening. I'm going to change the title of my talk, The Interlinking Between Science and Capitalism. My unconscious betrayed me. Here, by science, I'm going to be referring to as a human activity. The title, the term interlinking, arises from the research from Einstein and Russell, who, by criticizing quantum mechanics, visibilized an effect that is one of the greatest mysteries of physics, which is when two systems who, in principle, can be seen as independent, interact, they have to be described as a single system. When the organizers of the consciences asked me to reflect on the sciences before the wall, this is what I arrived, that there is an interlinkage between science and the capitalist science, the capitalist system. I'm going to give a number of examples of why I believe this, and my compañeros have given other presentations which make what I'm going to be saying a little bit more subtle. There has been an interconnection between science and the capitalist system, but like almost all relationships of the system, this is a relationship of control and supplantation. The system that maintains science, saying because it values it and appreciates it, but it really does it to control it. And we can see that in the various ways of financing scientific research. And we have, for example, what happened with the President of the United States when he cut the financing to sciences that study climate because he is in disagreement with what they say. And you can also see the introductions to research articles, and most of the introductions justify the research in terms of capital, in terms of what they can contribute to capital. So it is the logic of capital which decides what is relevant and what is not, and also decides who can or who cannot do science. For example, when some of the PhD students go to the United States, some nationalities are not allowed to enter to study, for example, nuclear science, because they realize that they can do something with those topics. Also, it is capital which uses those products. And that's why I get to the point where it's not only that science depends and is maintained by the capitalist system, but the capitalist system is perpetuated through science. For example, when we publish the results of research results, we publish in research journals that make this knowledge public, but then you have to pay to have access to those results. But not only that, to be able to advance or create technology through these results, you have to invest. And only those who have capital can therefore use those results. This way, the way we have organized science helps to perpetuate the wall and the division between those who obtain the results and those who do not. The other phenomenon, that preserves the state of things is how human resources are used. To educate the scientists, you need a large investment in order to educate them in science, and this is, of course, costs money. Industrialist nations externalize these, outsource these expenses, and do not build an educational system that trains people to do science, and then take human resources from other countries. And in this exercise, which brings a number of advantages to the system, since critical people are not educated, then it is difficult for people to become aware of the process that they are living. On the other hand, when they bring people who are already educated to do science, they are defenseless. So they cannot criticize the system that is hosting them because there are a number of barriers. And if they become uncomfortable, they can be sent back to their countries. So it's easier to control them this way. But it's not just a relationship of interdependence between science and the capitalist system, but also science has adopted the forms in which the capitalist system operates. For example, trying to maximize production, ignoring the impacts it has on human life. For example, like things are done with crops to maximize production by using fertilizers, it has now become common for graduate students in U.S. Universities, for example, to take medicines such as Adderall or other stimulants to be able to comply with the requisites of the university. In addition to all of this, they are used for a certain amount of time, for example, when they're doing their PhD or their postdoc, and then they are discarded. And only a few fortunate ones survive in the system. So when we are asked to reflect on science in the face of the wall, what I come to say here is that at this point, the state of things, science is part of the wall. It's not that it's in face of it or before it. It is part of it, and it maintains it. So what the compañeros are asking us, why did we decide to participate in this system if that's how we see it? What I can respond is that we do it because it's our way to live, to be. And so by trying to survive doing what we like, then we contribute to the system.
So we're going to shift from our So we're going to shift now to the next talk. So first I would like to give thanks to the International Commission of the Sexta for organizing this entire event.
Sobre la cual el capitalismo tiene hoy por hoy un mayor arraigo, y cuyo yugo
For capitalist system, diagnosis and medical and medicine is a great business. It is not casual that it is the large pharmaceutical companies, which is only about 25 companies in the world, which generate the greatest profits, more than any other industry, and they have the greatest criminal record at the industrial level in terms of corruption. When I was in my first year in medical school at the UNAM, the Department of Psychology received a donation of a number of microscopes of that had an interface for digital projection. This came from a pharmaceutical company. Soon, the director of med school decided to modify the study plan. One of those modifications, after a long process of consultation, was to increase the teaching of pharmacology, which is the branch of that studies medicines, to 6 years. Compared to nutrition, which didn't get even 20 hours, where even though Hippocrates already said that food is your medicine. So it is the companies that dictates medical education. Medical education is very expensive. What is conventionally known as medicine based on science or evidence is really not at all. Given the shortcuts of pharmaceutical companies to test the drugs and to disinform the public regarding their efficacy and hide their secondary effects, and the large amounts of money injected to marketing and commercialization of the latest medications. Many of medical professionals receive money to publish articles that offer fake evidence regarding the efficacy and security of medicines. Many of these articles are published in their name, whether or not they participated in the research. Modern medicine and their treatments have been recognized even by the Medical Association Journal as a third cause of death after cancer and diabetes. Capitalism has turned patients into merchandise, offering a source of profit not only through medicines but also through costly diagnostic tests and new technological treatments. All of this for the benefit of private companies. Sickness is a great business, and medicine is currently any drug or medical discovery that cures an illness is bad for the profits, because it's not about curing them, but about administrating them so they can continue to provide millions of dollars in profit. If a person is anguished or depressed because they don't have a good salary, or because they can't pay for a house, or they are unemployed, the doctor will say that they have chemical disequilibrium, or look for biological causes for their poor being. And their treatment will be some pills or maybe psychotherapy, where the real solution would have to do with better conditions of life. This perverse negation of the socioeconomic cause of illnesses makes medicine an accomplice of capitalist exploitation. Because doctors cannot associate with the basic needs of the patients. So we focus on biology and forget the real causes of suffering. And so doctors cannot become agents of real transformation. It is easier to give a medicine than to listen to the patient and try to understand really why they are being ill. Capitalism also profits from illness through In these circumstances, illness is a form of mute protest before the demands of capitalism, because it allows the person to reclaim his body as his own and register his sensation of poor being through what is socially acceptable as illness. The problem is that their bodies are immediately recovered by medical professions and the pharmaceutical complex, which transforms illness into a diagnosticable. The body is perceived as a biological machine, not as a human being with social, economic, spiritual dimensions. Like any other machine, the objective is to fix it and restore its economic functioning. The apparently idealistic objective of improving people's lives takes place through very high costs in the form of secondary effects and a reduction of quality of life. The result is an epidemic of preventive tests which overdiagnoses and excessive treatment, even with people without any symptoms. In Nemesis Medica, Ivan Illich has already mentioned this, regarding illnesses caused by the medical practice. A good example of how this works is to examine men older than 40 for prostate cancer. If the tests give a value larger than a certain amount, then they do a biopsy. And then the inflammation resulting can produce symptoms that are similar to cancer. However, it is a fact that most men die with prostate cancer and not because of it, while pharmaceutical and surgical treatment can reduce their life significantly. Another example is in terms of gynecology. There was an increase in maybe the most powerful perversion of capitalism over medicine is the sad reality of millions of poor who cannot access medical care. The right to medical care is inalienable to the human beings, but this right really has to do with the economic possibilities of each person. Social security and medical institutions have been overcome by the very high costs of treatment and large demand, and the budget cuts. The shock doctrine applied to public health institutions has been developed by capital to disappear any option of social medicine done with public infrastructure. I could go on for hours of many other examples where I've seen the intervention of capital in medicine, but I should go on to more positive things. How can we change these realities? This wall between the medicine from above or below can be cracked. How can we open them? The most important crack is the insatisfaction of millions of patients in the world with a health model. Patients are tired of being treated as consumers, and thanks to the actual technologies of information, they're often better informed than doctors regarding their illness. They arrive to consultations, as Rodrigo Gomez said in the morning, demanding certain diagnostic tests to confirm their suspicions. They ask many questions regarding the secondary effects of medicines, and they want to know everything about other options. Many doctors dislike this informed, and they become defensive. Instead of creating dialogue, the doctor closes down in his supposed authority and tries to impose his high criteria, contributing therefore to the insatisfaction of the patients. Fortunately, many other doctors use this informed posture of their patients to dialogue with them and thus contribute to better understand how their bodies function. This has to do with knowing our own bodies. Today, thanks to information technology, it's opening a crack in the wall and forcing doctors to exit their comfort zone and be at the level of the demands of the patients and accept that we could be wrong and to understand there could be other solutions in addition to those we learned in the classroom and the most important and prestigious journals. But this limited access to information through the internet is a two-sided weapon regarding health, because by making evident the faults of the medicine based on money, it feeds actions of refusal. But this, taken to the extent, denies many positive advancements of the science and that have contributed to health. People turn to generalize and polarize reality without accepting intermediate positions. One example is to state that all medicines are bad because they are produced by pharmaceutical companies, which we know are allied with the devil, which is money. Also, the blind faith in ancestral medicines as if they were universal truths and were infallible through time. Another example, which might be more relevant for its immediate consequences, is the anti-vaccine movement. Vaccines have been able to eradicate many illnesses that were mortal or left people incapacitated. The idea is to expose the immune system to the foreign body by a small doses of the same thing, so that when the individual is exposed to it in the real life, his defenses are prepared for it. This works. This is undeniable. But like any other medical intervention, this is not exempt from secondary effects, which can be very grave, very serious. This has led many families in the world to question the usefulness of vaccines, which is really unacceptable, especially in locations where, because of their conditions, they can be subject to epidemics. If you ask my personal question regarding this topic, I would say that what generates the problem is not vaccines themselves, but the actual scheme of the population, but the form they are administered and when they are administered. This current model has been imposed by medicine based on money, most of the time applied without an informed consent of the people involved. Vaccines, unfortunately, have also fallen into the hands of the medical industrial complex, and the method is not scientifically sustained. For example, the amount of vaccines before 2 years of age in Mexico, and we believe that 2 years is the point where the immune system is fully developed. But before the 2 years, in our current model, one of these kids already received 13 different pathogens with a number of different sessions of inoculation. This means that this child, which is not completely developed, has already been inoculated by 13 pathogens, which are injected, and which is natural, and generally we don't get infected through injections, usually it's through a digestive or respiratory tract. So we wonder, wouldn't it be better to apply the vaccines in a way more in accordance on how illnesses take place? In other words, one by one, and using a means that has that exposes the being, the, well, either by inhaling or orally. In campaigns, usually three vaccines are applied at the same time. Who benefits from this? Once again, the large pharmaceutical companies and medicine based on money, we find them involved in this. And critical voices in the medical society are not welcome. We self-censure ourselves because we fear to be rejected and taken as not serious. Our silence then becomes complicit with this relationship between capital and health. Much of what is read in the internet regarding health is false, so we have to be very careful about that. Traditional medicines such as herbs and acupuncture and so on have a lot of important contributions, but they must be integrated with science in this dialogue and find solutions that can break the power of money over health. And here I go back to what Dr. Ravelo a few minutes ago said. We must integrate all of this, create the new science, rescuing ancestral science knowledge, and integrate them with current scientific knowledge and technology. The current health model in capitalist systems, called as the biomedical model, is far behind. It is a model focused on illness, which is reductionist, when you define illness as a biological defect. It excludes the problems that cannot be explained through a biological explanation. Body and health, body and mind health are treated separately. Biological causes and treatments are emphasized. This allowed many advancements. For example, the fact that illnesses caused by germs created many developments, which allowed today the life expectation to grow. But the reductionism of this model allowed us to identify, for example, that diabetes is produced by lack of insulin, to then invent artificial insulin. Although the biological model has been successful in many ways, since the end of the 20th century, medicine is changing because of the higher costs of medicine, a better knowledge of the behavior of patients and health providers. This change of paradigm has meant a change to a model, biopsychosocial, of health, where health is defined as a state of psychological, physical well-being. The psychosocial model, therefore, is focused on the well-being and not the illness. It is a multi-factor model that realizes that health has to do with many factors and not just biological factors. It is an integrative model that considers mind and body as the same entity and not as separate entities. Treatments are focused on biological behavioral or environmental factors. All of this leads us to a more human medicine that has more to do with the dynamics that define health and illness. But it does not break with the dominion of capitalism over medicine. To this end, we must organize as doctors and break with the status quo. to have a critical and scientific posture, to denounce many of the abuses that we witness and sometimes we are accomplices with. To break with the medicine based on money, we should return humanism to medicine and put the individual back in the center, to understand that science is a science that requires us to be compassive. Che Guevara was a revolutionary that was a medical doctor by formation, by education. To break away from medicine based on money, we must remember the love of humanity that's supposed to motivate us and be agents of change and transformation. It's not enough to be aware of capital in our science. We must denounce it and use every opportunity to defeat it. These take place with every single patient. We must use each of these cracks to give information that can help patients not to become sick. This is a very Zapatista proposal. Doctors must be doctors so that the ill should not be ill, just like soldiers in the ESLN decided to be soldiers so that there would be no more soldiers. Let's go down from the pedestal of science and put our knowledge in the service of people. We must break away the traditional forms of hierarchical and despotic medical groups that stand for the interests of capital and organize from below and the left, from indignation, knowing that today we have technology to cure almost everything, but the price makes it inaccessible to most people. We cannot continue to validate with our silence the control of the loss of market over medicine. We must today speak loudly about social responsibility regarding medicine. We cannot stay silent when the causes of illness are violence, mystery. Medicine based on money has an alternative. Medicine that comes from humanism and empathy. A medical focus where all medical focuses fit for the benefit of humanity and against the designs of capital. We will continue struggling. Thank you.